from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM. ESPN. Happy hump day to you. I feel good. Feel good about America coming here today. We're coming, you know, toward the end of the Olympics, but it feels like we got a lot of great moments left, a lot of gold medal moments, and certainly USA basketball took another step towards that yesterday, John. And covered? I believe we covered. So did U.S. women's soccer, who advanced to the gold medal match. I'm no soccer expert, but looks like they'll be taking on Brazil on Saturday. And I'll be locked in because, as I was telling John as we came on air, I was a year too early on Sophie Smith and Trinity Rodman. You know, remember the sort of passing of the torch that was happening last time we saw this crew, from the sort of the vets to the new, and there was sort of, you know, there's a little bit of trouble there in the handoff. Well, these young ladies, these women, are flourishing now. And perhaps they'll make us even prouder on Saturday. There's my Olympic stuff. I'm going to tell you this. Hard Knocks. I can't tell you what a moment it was for me. Last night at 8 o'clock. A franchise, a storied franchise that had never been a part of Hard Knocks. A show that I've watched since my childhood, essentially, was on last night, and I had goosebumps from the get-go. I hope some of you watched it. If you didn't, I'm sorry, I'm probably going to spoil it for you.
The Chicago Bears.
Yeah, yeah. We were on deck last night on Hard Knocks, and it was good.
Yes.
The only thing that we're respecting in terms of spoilers is the Olympics. That's the only... You know, you're on your own. I mean, it's not our response. We're not your parents. We're not your babysitters.
Oh, just the music itself. Listen to it, John.
Oh, yeah, I lived it. I lived it a few years ago, and that's the last season I watched.
The Chicago Bears.
Now, I hope it's not the kiss of death for me that was for you.
Yeah, because you see what they want you to see. Ultimately.
Well, you guys had controversy that should have been covered, and it wasn't.
Yes.
And so that would make me feel a certain way too. And that's Antonio Brown, period.
All of that.
They whitewashed
that. We got none of that.
None of that.
Yes, it was like normal camp.
But we're going to get the stuff that you know the people want with Caleb and everything.
Yeah, I mean, if there's no drama, then there's no drama.
But as Jeffrey Wright pointed out this morning, they've had a history of, okay, first episode's been good, sort of a letdown from there. And so, the bar is set pretty high if you watch last night's first episode. I thought it was pretty pretty high-level stuff, and maybe some of that is just a giddy fan that's rooted for this franchise since he was a kid, getting to see his team behind the scenes. But I thought it was pretty well done. If I pulled myself out of it, I thought it was pretty good episode one. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I mean, that's the thing. Is like, if there's no drama to cover and it's just like personalities, that's great. But
you'll thrive. You're getting the number one
exactly
pick in the draft,
yes,
with an offense that, you know, is loaded with talent, and there's, you know, and you got Nick Saban in there on in the first episode, who in that tie with him and Eberflus, that I'll be honest with you, but Matt Eberflus, the Bears coach, I didn't realize that tie. I didn't know how far it goes back with those two, and so. Yeah, I did a little bit of learning.
Wasn't just
seeing your rookies and all that. I thought
good.
They've got some pretty good storylines. We'll see how it holds up.
Yeah, well, we'll get to it.
If it falls off, we won't talk about it.
Don't use your best stuff yet, because we have 3 hours today to fill.
Mm.
That's the way it goes.
Mm.
So don't use your best stuff for the first 5 minutes, brother. I mean, come on, this ain't your first rodeo.
No. Believe me, I could go
with
3 hours
a really bad coach
on last night.
Really makes you want to shed the tears.
Ditka. Yeah, Brad's going through our history. It is. It's
that trailer, I thought, was the best. That opening sequence they did with the announcer. I know you got a whole.
But John's warned us.
I don't want to shoot it all.
We got to save some of our stuff.
I was feeling you.
Plus, he didn't get to see, and I do want him to go back. So I don't want to tell John everything.
Yeah. Woo, it was good.
Yeah. Well,
I'm glad you agree.
Maybe at some point today we will have a live viewing. We'll
watch it together on the radio.
We'll, exactly.
That'll get Bears.
Is it an hour? We could do it in the second hour.
It's about an hour.
So we'll play that episode for you in hour number two. Lot to get to today on the show. Norton Hurd IV going to join us at 1:25 in studio.
Might be at Disney.
He's at Disney. My bad.
Might be. I don't know. We're coming back, or who knows? He could be by a ride in the fast pass lane, or
he
could be here beside us. Not sure of his whereabouts, but am sure we are going to have him.
Yes, looking forward to that. He'll join us at 1:25. Talk all things Olympic basketball with him and the summer. So looking forward to that. We have pump faked Cavern O'Cap twice this week. Okay,
but we end up getting stuck on one thing.
Right. This has been a week where we didn't do our jobs good enough.
Well, just you.
Yeah.
Because we had the items, didn't we?
Yeah. And so here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna give you the Cavern O'Cap that you deserve, with multiple topics where we weigh in on multiple things.
Very thorough.
And we don't just get stuck on one, because we have an open hour from 11 to noon, and so we're going to have to do this. All right? So for you, the audience, this is what you deserve. Let's do Cavern O'Cap.
Cap. It means lion, but built different. Now it's Cap.
I'm going to say Cap.
For no Cap.
I'm going to say that's no Cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John Show.
USA Basketball, which got their win over Brazil yesterday. They won. Most importantly, they covered. And it was really never in doubt. It was really, I mean, you couldn't have made that number big enough, quite honestly. Maybe the Puerto Rico number, 35.5. I think they maybe covered that. Can't remember. But they cover, no doubt. They cover first half. They cover full game.
Yep.
I mean, what more could you ask of your
Tatum and
your
Anthony Edwards there in at the end.
And Devin Booker.
And the human cigar, Tyrese Halliburton.
Even he got in. Did he score?
I'm not sure.
Don't think he did. Yeah. He sucks. USA Basketball and women's soccer will add to our gold medal count. Cap or no cap?
Well, I feel really good about USA Basketball. They last night looked great, like you said, and I think we've put away sort of the stories of the folks like Jason Tatum, who could be a little unhappy. I think now that you're – and you know what? I'm going to lighten up on somebody, too, and it's Dwayne Wade. But now, as you've reached the knockout stage, it's all about business, like Dwayne Wade was saying. I mean, you know, who cares about who's playing at this point? It's all about gold. You got a couple of more games to do it, and everybody seems focused on the mission. So I don't know. It felt like a pretty good vibe last night. I feel good about them. Now, John, you'll know better than me whether it'll be Germany, whether it'll be France, because I've got you've knocked off Serbia both in exhibition play and in pool play. So I'm not concerned, and frankly, I don't care what the margin of victory is. You know, I respect Serbia. I respect Jokic. They're going to beat them, and so it's going to come down to whether it's Germany or France. But I feel good against both. Probably feel better about it than when Canada was in, just because of the way Canada had been playing all those pros. Now to get to, you know, USA Brazil, I'm not sure. You know, this is a big moment, it feels like, for USA women's soccer, and just sort of what we said there at the top, there's been a youth movement, and whether they're ready for this kind of stage, a gold medal stage, we'll see. Feels pretty good, though.
But Brazil's good. We know that as well. So I feel good about one, not so good about the other. Oh, and not as good about the other. We'll probably go 1-1.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know. Right. I don't know.
Is Sophie ready?
Yeah. I mean, we had very dramatic yesterday. I don't really know that much about them, to be totally honest.
It's Brazil that I don't, you know, and their current state that I don't know as much about.
Exactly. So let's look at it. Let's just take a look at the odds here, because that would be our.
That'll be Saturday.
Yeah, that would. I actually don't see any quite yet. I'll keep looking, but I don't really have much doubt. I do think this.
I'm more interested in what you think about, you know, France and Germany,
mm-hmm.
and the gold medal match.
Yeah,
and that's what we care most about.
Yeah, I don't see
at least here.
I don't see any soccer so far. So
it might not be out yet.
Yeah. Here we go. Hold on. Yeah. So the United States women are actually big favorites. They're -200 over Brazil to win the gold. So there you have it.
There you go. You say you can say 2-0 and look better than me.
You're favored. Your favorite would be 2-0. In terms of France, Germany, I mean, Germany opened as a 1-point favorite over France, and it's now been bet all the way out to 5.5.
Okay.
Again, Germany beat the crap out of them in the first meeting last weekend. So I don't understand why that number opened up 1. That seems very short, even if it is in Paris, and they'll have a home court advantage. It'll be interesting with their lineup changes. I will say that. They benched Gobert. They benched Fournier, and it worked. It worked in a major way. I mean, Canada, you can say what you want about them and how bad Dylan Brooks was yesterday and how bad Jamal Murray has been, but they were 3-0 coming into that. They had not lost a game. They had never really been threatened in terms of losing a game. So you have to give them that. And that was a good win. That was a really good win for France. United States, I do think this. I don't think they're going to lose to Serbia. I don't believe that. But I do think it's going to be a very different game than what we saw in the first one.
I mean, it's 3 times. I would hope it's a little bit closer.
Yeah, the first one, you're exactly right. The first one was a joke because Serbia sat everybody in the second half. The second game,
joke!
USA just got out to a huge lead and never looked back. And so here's what I'm thinking in terms of this. In fact, I've already bet it. I've already bet Serbia +17.5 because I'm going to tell you why. Because Joker's going 40. He's going 40 minutes out there. And when Joker was on the floor, it was a tie game in the second game.
That's impressive.
So I mean, again,
that he can do that against our best.
It's just
an entire team of our best play it even, essentially.
Right. It's the attention he commands,
that's
right?
Crazy.
So that leaves Bogdanovich. It leaves, you know, Petrušev. Like, we actually do have some, I'm saying we because, you know, I am married into the Serbian, you know, clan, bro. Like, it's, you know, it is, my kids are a quarter Serbian. I have to embrace that part of my heritage as well, like Mondo Duplantis, you know?
Yeah, but you were killing him yesterday for it.
Yeah, so I think it'll be close. I do. I think it'll be I think it could be a single-digit game, but I don't think the United States will lose. I think it will be United States and Germany for the gold, which is the best possible game as far as I'm concerned. I mean, Germany beat United States. It was a different team. They beat the United States in the World Cup last year. You know, that's our best, I think, competition in the rest of the world right now is Germany. So do you want the best game? Do you want the easiest game?
Remind me that now we lost in the bronze game
to Canada.
Canada, but
correct.
We had lost to Germany in pool play, or
you lost in the
beforehand.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That was I don't remember exactly.
And then who ended up getting silver in FIBA?
No, was that the that was the game to go to the gold medal, right? USA Germany.
Was it?
I think
and
so.
And that's how we got Canada. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah. And
then who
Serbia beat Canada. So that's how that happened.
Thank you.
So that's how you.
Yeah, I knew Germany was champ. We finished fourth.
Yeah,
and that Canada had beaten us in third
but
place.
But by then, you know, you
can't remember
like,
how we got
don't want
there.
The damn bronze.
Anyway, it's a completely different team. I mean, you got two guys from that team.
Exactly. But at any rate, listen.
And I shouldn't have left out Mallory Swanson.
Yes,
Sophia
thank
Smith,
you.
Trinity Rodman, Mallory Swanson have scored 10 of their 11 golds.
Yeah,
for U.S. women.
So I did look this up yesterday. We were talking about it. And we're talking about how close the medal count is. The United States is expected, in terms of projections, I saw some people do some math on this, with events remaining, the United States is expected to have 41 golds.
Yes, you were freaking out yesterday, and you shouldn't have.
Opposed to China's 34.
Mm-hmm.
That's the projections. So that's a comfortable lead, you would say.
Now, my beach volleyball team went down last night. They let me down.
The men?
No, it was the women.
The
Chang
women.
And I can't think of the other woman's name, but we went down in straight sets to a team from, was it the Swiss? Either way, they were. We had hoped that they were going to win us a gold medal. They are no longer in the running.
Yeah.
I want you to know I put in my dues and watched that yesterday just so I could bring it back to the show and let you know what happened.
Yeah, well, thank you for doing that. Yeah. So ultimately, pretty successful so far, you would say, for the Americans.
Super successful.
They have the lead currently in gold medals, 24-23, and it's not even close in terms of the others. I mean, it's 88.
Well, I was 24-22 last time I saw it, so China's crept up one.
Yeah, China must have won one.
Stay back.
I don't know which event.
We'll be fine.
But
as you said, the predictors have got us winning this thing. That's what we'll be able to stick our chests out for the rest of the
question
summer.
Is, what are we going to do the next 2 years with no World Cup and no Olympics? I mean, brutal. When's the Soccer World
Cup? Well, in the winter 2 years from now?
Yeah, we'll get the winter.
Yeah.
But that sucks.
Well, it's not this. Yeah, it's never
the
same thing.
We don't need the Winter
Olympics.
NBC
will go all out, and they're even talking about, if I read this correctly, they're even talking about sending Snoop there. Snoop going to be in the wintertime on y'all covering the Olympics. We're not just talking about 28 and L.A., and that's home for Snoop. We're talking about maybe in 2 years. NBC loves this so much.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be on them winter things on y'all.
Might have
Snoop on ice skates.
But let's be real, though. The Winter Olympics.
They don't count, really.
They don't. They're useless.
Just to us.
Yeah.
In terms of viewing and actual content for a show, there's just not enough people, Brad, tuned in. Like the 33 something million we're getting a night.
It will not be. It will not be.
You don't have NBA stars.
It will not be the, oh, please don't ruin this for me. I'll watch it on primetime tonight. That's not the Winter Olympics. Like, we're not good enough in those sports.
What is it? Hockey is the professional sport that, you know, that is going during that time where you could have some folks that transfer over. But what else is there in terms of professional sports that would bring viewers? So I'm talking about some NHL viewership.
I mean, people like the figure skating.
There's nothing else. And
people get up, but that's what a terrible sport.
It's, well, again, don't hate on the figure skaters. We end up watching. But it's not the Summer Olympics. I would agree with you, John. You don't need to get riled up.
I'm not getting riled up. I think
most people agree with you.
We don't need the Winter Olympics.
It is not the draw. We need it.
We don't need it.
It's good for the athletes and the countries. Need to have it.
My favorite,
it's just not content.
Olympic sport is bobsledding. About 25 years ago, you guys remember, they were taking football players trying to beat some of these other teams from America.
When you say favorite Olympic sport, do you mean just winter, or you're saying
winter,
overall?
The winter.
Okay, I was going to say,
because you guys are
no way.
I think I'll be excited about the winter at Utah because it'll be in America.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll get up for the alpine and the figure and the cross and some of those the luge. Those are some pretty fun events, some powerful ones.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like these are not sports that we're good in. These are not sports that we do. So, the United States finished in the 2018 Winter Olympics. I'm just pulling up random Olympics. We were fourth. So was there a Winter Olympics in 2022 then? I don't remember it if there was.
Lindsey Vonn was in it, right?
Yes.
Oh, it was
there not? Because that's why we'll have one 2 years from now.
See, I can't tell you anything.
That's fine. You're like the average American, and I'm probably in the same boat. If you
were third, we finished third, but we can't catch Norway. We're never going to catch Norway in the Winter Olympics. So it's like it's not something that I can't tell you a single moment from the last 20 years of Winter Olympics. It's just it's a far inferior product. It really is.
You know about Tanya.
Oh, well, that was, yes.
That was wild.
That was off the rink, though. Off the ice, as they say. Yeah, if somebody does that again, yeah, I'll definitely tune in.
If we had had sort of the opportunities outside of Olympics with, I guess, NIL and things like that, and I'm not sure where Tanya attended school, but it seemed like, you know, in the end, you know, if they had had a little bit more money, you know, would she have attacked Kerrigan the way she did? Was it all out of jealousy, or was it really that they were sort of, you know?
I'll have to follow up.
Is a case of the haves and the have-nots.
Well, I think,
and that's what I'm saying. See, Tanya could have had more early, and maybe that attack doesn't happen. I've actually thought about that because it seems like every single athlete has a deal. Have you seen? It's not just Simone Biles. Like every Jordan Chiles, I saw has got all kinds of deals on the side and everything else. And that was a different time then, where if you didn't have the Wheaties box, then it seemed like none of the other athletes had anything in terms of advertising. Remember Mary Lou Retton on the Wheaties box. I can't remember anybody else that was on that team at that point. It just seemed like there's so much more now in terms of individually what you're able to do in terms of capitalizing on your name, image, and likeness. I'm just wondering if back in the day, Tanya could have capitalized there, and we don't have the, what was my man's name, Galooly, Jeff Galooly, or whatever them fools were. I mean, what? You can't even make this stuff up. This woman attacked another American.
Yeah.
Took her out with a pipe.
And that's the last time the Winter Olympics have been compelling. Was that even, that was during the Winter Olympics?
Was it not? Yes, I'm pretty sure it was Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
It had to be. I don't think that was like American championships.
Yeah, that's the last time they've been, the you know, Winter Olympics have been something of note.
It was the last time you paid attention.
What was it? We were in Russia in 2014, Sochi.
Man, don't ask me about the dates and where we were for Winter Olympics.
Yeah, we were in Sochi. And again, I don't know how we did it in that one. Maybe we did better in that one. Nope, finished fourth. So it's a race to third or fourth for us. It's the best we're gonna do. You know, snowboarding. Sean White, is he still doing it?
No, I think he retired.
Okay, so we're definitely worse now without him.
Yeah, I remember him winning or getting close was big last because of how old he is. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's going on.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not going to talk about Winter Olympics with you anymore.
Okay.
I don't have anything else to say about it.
Hard Knocks last night was incredible. Cap or no cap?
Can I just hear this for a second? Because now it's me. Now it's my team.
The Chicago Bears.
You're right, Brad. Just rolling down through the river, seeing downtown Chicago. That would have been enough for me. I would have said, man, good show. They were showing Hallis up in the buildings and the history of this storied franchise.
I'm just very creative.
Y'all don't talk enough about our world championships.
That's right.
That came before the Super Bowl. You know who was running things before the Niners and the Steelers and everybody else? The Bears.
George Hallis.
I'm shocked that this is y'all's first appearance.
First ever. Now, we've never been interested in being on. That's been a part of it.
Right.
We've been above it, really, and probably shouldn't have been. Clearly, here the last few years, we shouldn't have been. It's great. It's no cap. It's a great show. It's going to be hard. When you were comparing Caleb Williams to Michael Jordan and saying that he could be the biggest thing in Chicago since Michael and literally playing Michael's intro music, you're becoming a part of the hype machine yourself. And so, and then you're coming after a year where C.J. Stroud just had the best rookie year we've seen from a quarterback throwing for 4,100 yards. And so my biggest takeaway is we have set the bar so high for this kid, there's no way he comes close to meeting expectations. And if he's not close, if he's good but not elite like the year C.J. Stroud had, people are going to say this kid ain't it. And as Eberflus went out of his way to try to remind us, and remember, he's trying to hold on to his job.
Right.
But that, you know, it takes a year to learn. Then year two, you feel a little bit better about the way. And it's year three where a quarterback, you know, most quarterbacks kind of figure it out. Nah, bruh, that's not the way they're – I know you'd like to have that sort of plan, but it's not the way they're measured now. And he won't be, particularly coming off of a year where C.J. Stroud was so awesome, you know, coming right in for a team that nobody expected to do what it last did last. Ultimately, inevitably, he will be compared to that. And I worry, right, but and this is what Nick Saban, who was on it last night and talks about, worry about him not meeting that. What does that do to his head?
Mm-hmm.
Does he start getting caught up in that, and then you get a guy that's trying to be a Superman every game? And that's where you can have the fall off. So we won't go through all the details, but it was fantastic, John. You should check in.
Yeah, I probably will at some point. Again, it's just all going to have to be on my schedule. But, you know, I'm more excited. I'm more interested in seeing Caleb Williams in action than I am.
Well, you're going to see that hopefully this week.
Yeah, I think it sounds like he is going to play.
I mean, the Commanders are playing, Daniels now at this point. And again, we've said it. The Bears just had a bonus game. This, just think of it with the Hall of Fame game. Yeah, that's four games. All teams have three. And so you're basically on the same clock as everybody else. And why would you not have Caleb out there and these other teams that have drafted rookie quarterbacks one slot down are playing their guys? Makes all the sense in the world. Start getting him some reps. Sounds like Jaden's going to go. A couple series, at least.
At least a series, yep. But we'll see. We'll see exactly how much it will look like for Caleb. But, yeah, a lot of exciting young quarterbacks in the league, and certainly Caleb Williams is one of them. So is it what are you learning? What's the big takeaway about the – you know, is there a lot you've learned about Caleb in the first episode?
I don't know. It's not as much about Caleb. I've already done a lot of – Eberflus is sort of interesting here.
Okay.
again, a guy that you're not the pick of the general manager in terms of as a head coach. So you're already worried there sort of about your future. And I just, you know, you and they talked a little bit about he's changed his appearance since last year. Like, and it's not just growing a beard. And I just wonder how much of it is because you knew Hard Knocks was coming. You know, he's asking Nick Saban essentially, how do I – remember, Eberflus, a defensive guy coming over from Indy. He's asking Nick Saban, how do I coach on a day-to-day basis a star quarterback with expectations like this? And one of the things Nick told him, I thought this was insightful, was, you know, I stood behind my quarterbacks and I didn't admonish them in front of the rest of the – during practices, in front of the rest of the team. I didn't get on them there. I'd ask him, hey, what'd you see? So I would have his perspective. And if you notice, on every shot of Caleb throwing, Eberflus is behind him. And so what I'm trying to figure out, you asked me my take on this, are we getting a guy that's trying to act like, hey, I've got control of things, I'm going to have I'm a defensive guy, but I'm going to have a say in this, or someone that's really trying to learn and do better? Because, again, it's the cameras are there.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know if it's for the cameras. Again, he changed his appearance.
Right.
We're watching him in the barber shop. Last year, this dude, you would think of him as a curmudgeon, the way he'd carried himself the first couple of years. Now he's this stud. His wife's all dressing him up, got him a makeover, essentially. Is it for the cameras? Are you bringing Saban in for the cameras to show us you got some coaching pedigree because you come from him? He actually coached under Saban at one point at Toledo, I believe. Or is this real and a coach is trying to adjust, learn, and which I would say is a good thing. Because obviously the best did it. You know, Nick Saban adjusted, especially offensively, what he had to do. Bring people in, listen. You know more about it than me. Hey, if I want to stay on top, I've got to adjust and evolve. And that's what Saban did. So that's what I'm curious about. Do I have a head coach here that's just doing it for the looks, trying to look like he's got control here? Or do I have one that's really, you know, trying to grow and learn?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just be a defensive coach like Belichick. Hey, you go handle everything. You go handle the offense.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting. And there's a lot of pressure on those guys. So I'm sure Hard Knocks probably adds to that. Anyway, good stuff there. All right, let's move on. Brandon Ayuk is about to be a teammate of Calvin Austin III.
Kaepernicka?
Yeah.
Certainly looks like it by the way Mike Tomlin's talking and looking,
yeah,
and addressing the media.
Andrew Filippone, who does radio, I have no idea if he's an insider or not. It kind of seems thin. It's not coming from Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport. It seems like a story like this would come from them. But he is reporting that there is an agreement in place and that Brandon Ayuk is going to Pittsburgh. So take that for what it's worth. But you're right. I mean, Mike Tomlin's demeanor today has just been very uncharacteristic of him when it comes to these kind. Like, we were talking about this before the show, and you're exactly right. Like, when it comes to things like this, Mike Tomlin tends to be a bit of a curmudgeon, right? He tends to be a little gruff, you know, like, well, you know, don't ask me about that. You know, we're talking about the guys that we have here. We're focused on a quarterback, you know, blah, blah, blah. But he's been pretty cheeky, you know.
That's a good way to put it.
With Brandon Ayuk. And he was asked on radio this morning, hey, made any important phone calls? It feels like the worst kept secret in the league. Have you made any phone calls this morning? Any important phone calls? And he said, a little early on the West Coast. Let's see how the day unfolds, or something to that effect. So Brandon Ayuk would be a terrific addition to Pittsburgh. He is definitely one of the best receivers in the NFL. Probably doesn't get talked about enough, but when you take him out of that 49ers offense, I think they could be a downgrade because he's that guy on a 3rd-and-9. When you go deep and you have to go deep, he's the guy that's going to haul it in for them. I mean, it's just him and Kittle, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So you take him out of the equation, and I think they could look a little different there offensively. And, you know, for Pittsburgh, I mean, that's a playmaker now. That's a real playmaker that they don't have. I mean, Pickens is very inconsistent, as we know. He can have great moments, and he could disappear. So you get a much more consistent, productive professional in Ayuk. They're going to win 9 games again, bro. They're going to go 9-8 with Ayuk.
What's the young kid? The young receiver they drafted, or
Roman Wilson?
I thought there was another one.
Oh, I only knew about that.
I just think San Francisco's been, you know, they've known this was coming. I find it more curious too that the Patriots were apparently willing to make him the highest paid New England was willing to make Ayuk one of the top five highest paid wide receivers in the NFL in terms of average salary per year, and now they're out. They've backed out. I don't know if what San Francisco was asking was too much. Ayuk also had some power in this as well, because if he didn't like the contract that whatever team he was going to get traded to was going to put in front of them, this deal was not going to go through. And so the fact that they're out now, and as you started with, Mike Tomlin is acting so much differently than he usually does in these situations, so much so that Mike Tannenbaum this morning, the former Dolphins Jets GM, now on Get Up as an analyst, worked for ESPN now as an analyst, thinks that Pittsburgh's the leader, that Mike's essentially telling you it's a bad poker face on his part. He can't help himself. That now the Steelers have jumped in. They're obviously willing to make him top five, and Brandon Ayuk must be happy with whatever that contract is that's in front of them. A couple of things here. Yes, Pittsburgh, whether it's Justin Fields, whether it's Russell Wilson, I don't think it's either one of them, frankly, but it sets them up for the next guy. Okay, and then back to San Francisco. I feel like they've been sort of preparing for this in a way. You had a choice there. That you got Debo, you got McCaffrey, you got Kittle. You've had a chance to get Ayuk signed up now, and you haven't done that. I think they've seen the writing on the wall, and they've drafted young receivers. And so I think they feel like they'll be fine without him. But I question whether it'll be the same. He adds to their balance, John, but you still got a crew with Debo and McCaffrey and Kittle. It's still a crew.
No, it's still good.
Yeah. I mean, and they'll have some rookie or second year guy.
Yeah.
Trying to step up in Ayuk's place. It's still a fantastic offense.
It's like when the Bengals lose T. Higgins out of the season.
He's what made him unguardable, though.
Yeah.
Almost.
I mean, it's like.
There's so much balance everywhere on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Can't focus on Debo. Can't focus on Ayuk because of Debo.
Yep.
Got Kittle running down the seam.
Yep.
Then McCaffrey's doing everything to you.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Quite literally balance. The future. This is the Bengals looking into the future.
But they also have Brock Purdy, who's about to ask.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you're going to give it to him or not is another question, but about to ask to be the highest paid quarterback in the league based on what he's accomplished so far.
Absolutely.
So they can't sign everybody up here with the Brock Purdy decision coming up, knowing that they're going to have to pay him something.
Yep.
And again, we know the way this goes. Sometimes just being the next guy makes you the top guy in terms of setting the market.
100%.
And that's what's coming up for them.
Yes.
Having to win differently, without your quarterback on a rookie deal.
Exactly. And that's part.
That's why they're willing to part. It's the only reason why you're willing to part with a guy this talented.
Yep.
He is a number one receiver.
We talk about this all the time on the show. Like, we've been talking about it for years now, where the formula is now you draft the dude and you put him in. I mean, that's the only way, unless you are Mahomes.
You either have a Hall of Famer.
Exactly.
That can do it for you.
Yep.
Or you have a quarterback on a rookie deal.
Exactly.
So that you can address every other spot and get loaded in those spots.
And guess what? You don't have a Hall of Famer. You don't have a Hall of Famer.
Mm-mm.
There's like, I would say, guaranteed right now, I would say there's what, two?
Two?
I would say two guaranteed Hall of Famers right now in Burrow and Mahomes. And Burrow might not even be a guaranteed Hall of Famer, honestly.
Well, you're leaving out Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, that's true. Okay, so
who gives them a chance?
He's on the end of his
deal. But he's still one of those.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Tom Brady was one of those.
Is Burrow a Hall of Famer? Is he guaranteed? I'd say maybe not because of his injury history.
I would not say that Burrow is guaranteed Hall of Famer right now.
So,
no.
So you have two guaranteed Hall of Famers, and that's it right now. And Mahomes and Rodgers. I mean, CJ looks good, but it's one season.
Way too early for that. He could get hurt this year.
Exactly.
I'm just trying to think. Matthew Stafford might be a Hall of Famer now that he's got the Super Bowl.
They'll argue about him.
His yards are going to be way up there.
They'll argue about him. You're right.
That's one. You made that declaration so quickly, I wasn't ready for it. Hall of Famer. Stafford, my guess is he's going to be certainly considered. And
I'll give you Matt Stafford.
Now he has the bowl.
I'll give you Matt Stafford. But he's on the bottom. Like,
we're up to three.
He may have to wait a little bit.
Lamar going to have to get him a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Lamar's on.
The MVPs won't get you there by themselves.
Yeah, I would say.
If he gets one, though, he's in because he's got two MVPs. Aaron's got four and just one Super Bowl, and he's in.
Yep. So I would say that's right. Matt Stafford, Rodgers, Mahomes. That's it. The rest, promise, could be, but have ways to go. So your path is drafting the rookie. And hoping that you get a crack.
Well, that's the general manager dream, right?
Yeah, like Jalen Hurts, right?
CJ Stroud.
He gave Philly the chance before he got the big deal, right?
Did you read that story about him and Sirianni?
Yeah.
Told you.
Yeah. But they did ride on the golf cart together to the training camp.
I'm just telling you, man. That's for show.
Well, did you see the Zeke Elliott video that I kept telling you to look at?
Of course. I told you I watched it.
Okay.
And he looks terrible.
Right.
We have got to do something in running back. I'm saying we because you've made this you against me.
That's right.
The NFC East outcome.
Me versus the Jason, Smith and Fitz.
Yeah, that's right. Fitz is with me, too. That's
yeah. But it's definitely it's a hard thing to do. Like the Raiders, for example, right? All the news I see come out of Vegas is these guys stink. They both are awful. You know, and it's just like, I'd rather have a rookie in there, you know, who's got a chance, but we could, you know, we were picking 15th or whatever, 14th, you know, and then that's what we end up with.
So. Bro, y'all need to tank.
I know.
Trade Devontae.
Trade Crosby.
And get Dak a good pick.
We could do Crosby, the best player on our team. Got to trade him.
Go throw that money at, you got to keep a little bit of the defense. So you will be competitive once you get Dak.
Our defense is going to be the reason why we win 8-9 games.
That's still fine. Then you won't have a great draft pick. You'll be middle of the road. So what? But you go throw all the money at Dak, and then you're immediately competitive. It's not a full rebuild. You tell yourself we're right there, at least to compete for a playoff spot.
Exactly. So anyway, Hard Knocks, good time. And Brandon Ayuk is definitely going to be a teammate of Calvin Austin.
Man, it looks like it.
Just a matter of, obviously not great news for Calvin because he was wide receiver two. He had worked his way up. So he's definitely going to get bumped down. But I think the slot is his more natural position on the field, don't you?
Set aside Calvin. If they get Ayuk with George, I would worry for you about Pittsburgh and Dak. Now, not knowing what their cap situation is and all that, and Dak's going to be 60.
Because they got to pay Brandon.
And now they're going to pay Ayuk. But Pickens is a rookie deal, isn't it? Still on his rookie deal.
Yeah.
That's how they could get it done now.
Yeah.
But if you're Dak, doesn't that look good? You look at what Vegas has gotten. Well, let's assume you've kept Devontae Adams to help lure him. Pickens and Brandon's better.
We got Brock Bowers.
And Mike Tomlin
Brock
is
Bowers.
Better.
Antonio Pierce.
You got Bowers. He's a beast. He's a weapon.
Myers played well last season.
I'm just saying. You telling
it's
me?
It's close. It's close.
Okay, it's closer. You're trying to say it's close. Well, I don't know if it's close.
We're going to offer more money than Pittsburgh. It's a lot.
Well, on the coaching thing at the top, you give him Mike Tomlin.
Oh, yeah. We can't do anything about that.
Sense. As soon as he walks through the room, Dak's going
to
love him.
But we're going to pay more. I mean, because we have to. And it's Vegas. You know?
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with Pittsburgh's financial situation, whether they go up there with you, but I'm assuming. I would make the case they're a better destination.
Didn't
just
they
from
pay T.J. Watt?
I'm sure they paid T.J. Watt.
So, I mean, they can't just have
but who else do they have? Like, it's not like they've re-upped on their running backs or anything, or, you know, and Pickens, we said, still on rookie deal. Now they'll have to pay him at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But who are they so committed to other than Watt financially? That's the thing, and they're doing nothing on these quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying welfare prices for the two QBs.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they're gonna
there's money there.
There is potentially.
Just saying, watch out because your Dak sweepstakes Pittsburgh could be right there with you.
No question. All right, last one. Danny Barlow will cement his star status this weekend at UFC Vegas 95.
Oh, I'm so glad he's back. First of all. I don't know much about his opponent, but we have we've now for a while predicted the rise of Danny Barlow. It feels like it's been slowed because remember after the first fight, he broke his arm.
Yep.
And so he's had to heal first, but I'm excited because it felt like this was a guy who's going to be fast-tracked so long as he can win, continue to win, get off to whatever Dana's looking at. If it's got to be 4-0, 5-0 before you get your title shot. But you're sitting there now since signing the deal at 1-0, and it's exciting that he's back out there. Again, I don't know much about his opponent, but I'm going to assume that they've set it up here because they see Danny Barlow as a potential future star. And again, it's not just the way he's fighting and how violently he fights. It's what he does in the interviews after. It's the way he talks, the Memphis he brings to the table. The UFC doesn't have anything that looks or sounds like him. And so it's there for the take. Back to the point, they're setting this up for him. You know, they're putting opponents in front of him that they want him to beat. And so, again, not knowing much about this one, but assuming this is set up for Danny to keep rising, yeah, all day. Keep it going, Danny Barlow. And hopefully, again, he's going to put Memphis back on the UFC map.
Yeah, so a little bit of background on this fight. It was supposed to be Uros Medic.
They're always switching when you're at this point in the card.
But he pulled out because of injury, and so it is now going to be Nikolai Veretenikov.
I promise. I feel like that happened in the first fight. That is,
I think it
got
did.
Switched
I think it did.
Too.
Yeah,
and this is common.
Yeah, and so they're pretty similar in terms of their height and weight. Both 6'1", Danny 6'2", 170, Veretenikov 6'1", 170. So very evenly matched from a physical standpoint. But Danny Barlow's 8-0 in his career, and Veretenikov is 12-4 in his career. And like you said...
Now, some of them Barlows aren't right since he signed the contract, right? That's why I said 1-0. I think he's right.
Yeah, in the UFC, he's only 1-0.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But yes, as a professional, yes, he's fought more fights.
Exactly right. Going back to 2021.
Yes.
And... of the eight, one, two, three, four, five have been TKOs. That's what he wants
Left
to do.
Left hand to God.
That is what he wants to do. So, they set this up because they want to make Danny a star.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the main card, you know, of UFC Fight 95, UFC 95 in Vegas. And again, eventually in that class, he's going to have to fight the best, right?
Yeah.
But they're going to set him up, you know, build up that record,
yes.
9-0, 10-0, 11-0, 12-0, whatever, before they do that. And he's got the personality.
He literally just needs to take care of business. Like, these are fighters that he is better than.
Yes.
And if he takes care of business and is fully healed up,
yes,
we're going to get that. You know, eventually we will get there.
Yes.
Where he's getting some serious fights.
So, yeah, I think he's definitely a star. I think he's got, you know, again, I haven't seen him against, like, you know, I've only seen the two fights, right? It was against Raheem Forrest in the thing, and the Contender Series,
yes,
and then it was
the other Memphian
Kinlan, mm-hmm. You know, when he finished him with a broken arm. I haven't seen him against a wrestler type, you know, and I think that's probably the question that he'll have to answer at some point,
yep.
Because that's what you get at the top. You get guys that want to
ground attack,
100%. They know his length. And they want to avoid it.
Yeah, they won't want to get into a sparring match,
exactly.
into a boxing match.
Because that's how you lose.
That's how he wins, right.
So I think the next thing for him is like, okay, can you go to the... He does have a sub finish. He does have a submission finish in his career.
Oh, Brian Hall got him with some subs now.
But yeah, do I think he's a star? I do. I think he's absolutely a star. And he's got a chance over the next 3 to 4 years, you know, if this goes really well, he's got a chance. He's 29, so, you know, he just turned 29, so he's a little older. He's a little older in that regard, but I think, you know, you look at him, the dude is a freaking ridiculous athlete. You know, he could go another 3 to 4 years, you know, at the top of welterweight, I think, and he's got the personality. People will fall in love with him, you mm-hmm. know, if he wins. And that's the part of it that you got to do, but I'm rooting for him, man, because Rampage was from Memphis, but he really didn't rep like that. And you know, that's the difference here. When you hear Danny Barlow talk, it is Memphis all the way. It is the most. It's like I feel like I went to, you know, White Station.
Can we
Station
say
with
fairly that Quentin didn't rep Memphis?
I mean, did he? Like, he was from Memphis. Everybody knew he was from his.
Yeah, I mean, it was a different time, social media and all that, and Danny's benefited from that. And
like,
it's
like, you don't ever
Memphis
see like Rampage like coming back.
I think he did then. You know, before he was tired. I saw him. He was at the Attitude MMA fights. You know, I can't remember months ago, year ago, whatever that I attended.
Yeah,
he was there. You know, he's come. I just didn't want to put that on.
Okay,
him.
Well, maybe he reps more than I thought.
But again, shout out to. But how just it's part of Danny Barlow.
Yeah.
You know, everything
well, I mean,
that he does.
And that's the difference.
It feels
right?
like Memphis is in every sentence.
Rampage fought out of California. And I think Danny Barlow fights out of Memphis.
He does.
You know?
Out of the law school.
So that's different. That's a difference.
You're no question.
You know, and I think so that's why, and I don't think that would change if he was, for example, like on a pay per view.
But Rampage a proud Pharaoh.
Yeah, but he didn't fight out of Memphis, though.
Proud Raleigh DeFerro. Maybe getting all the training.
Proud
was going, maybe
to
the,
a point.
The law school wasn't set up back
proud
then that Rampage could go into the law school, Brian Hall's school
for
MMA school, that we didn't have that back
y'all
then. You had to go out
proud
to Cali.
To a point. Until it's inconvenient for you.
I'm just saying. So, you know, you can't drop that on at Rampage's feet and say you didn't rep Memphis.
Danny,
he was just here for a fight.
Danny has talked about this. He has talked about how he wants
it is in his DNA.
You know, resources, and he wants to really be from Memphis. Like, he wants to train from Memphis. He wants to fight out of Memphis.
Yes, I want him
he
to keep doing that.
You know, so you and Rampage can go to Irvine, California, and have your little, you know, Mai Tais. Me and Danny going to be in the trenches in Memphis, fighting out of Memphis.
Man, please.
All right.
I brought him to your attention.
Danny Barlow.
You know nothing about Danny coming out of Westwood.
Well, that's true. I got to hold my hand up because I'm not a big UFC. I don't follow it. You know, I mean, I'm not a super in tune. But I've been following it since his star has
since
risen.
That contender series.
Yes,
and that's what it was.
I bet on him in the first fight.
That's what. Once he won the first one and you won money, that's when you were locked in.
Now I can't bet.
Now we talked to him before that fight.
Correct.
We talked
to him at the week after. Yes,
right.
He won the contender series.
He won the fight.
Yes. Oh yeah.
After the contender series.
We're overdue to get Danny on the show, to be clear. But I can't bet him in this one because he's minus 340.
Right, yeah, I told you. This is a setup.
This is a squash match.
Especially when you keep switching opponents on him, you got to give him a dog.
Yeah, you do. Because
he's literally prepared for someone else.
And the other guy that's taking the fight, right,
yes,
has to be in a situation where he agrees to take the fight.
Right, well, yes. He's doing that because he's a dog.
Right, he knows.
Willing to take this L.
I don't know what they pay. I don't know what UFC 95 pays.
Probably not much for where they're at on the card.
I don't think it's
to a switched-in opponent.
I don't think it's a pay-per-view. I think it's just on ESPN Plus, right?
Oh, is it?
It's on ESPN Plus, but I don't think it's a pay-per-view. You know, sometimes.
What time is he? So you can tell our Memphians that are interested in it. What time should he come on?
The main card starts at 6.
And he's on the main card.
Yeah, he's on the main card. So.
But he'll be early on the main card.
I think he's the third or fourth fight.
Okay. Well, that feels early because the cards go freaking 4 or 5 hours, feels like.
All right, well, let me look this up. That's the thing about UFC that's a little confusing,
well,
right?
Well, we've got a couple days to give because that'll be Saturday night, won't it? To let the people know. Memphis needs to get behind this guy. If they're not already and you don't already know. But I tell you this.
He's the fourth fight. There are 6.
Well, that's on into it then.
Yeah, he's the second fight
so
from the main
six.
Event. Yeah, it starts at 6. So that's probably going to put you around 8.
8-ish. That was my first thought.
That'd be my guess. Okay,
anyway,
but I don't know.
They're doing a better they're doing a great job. Brian Hall, his trainer, is doing a great job getting the word out about Barlow and sort of what they're doing over there at the law school and the type of fighter they're producing, and obviously Danny right there at the top of the heap. But for those that haven't caught up or heard their story, they are well worth supporting. And frankly, the city needs to get behind if they're not already. Hall is a former Memphis police officer. He may still be, but he's been with had been with MPD for a while, and this was his way of giving back, you know, to the community. You know, more than just the job itself, but giving back, teaching. You know, mixed martial arts, and it's this is the kind of stuff we don't see enough or spend enough to focus on. Again, I don't need to tell you the story. We do more of that on the negative. This needs to be supported because there's something there. And then when the kids have got a Danny Barlow to look up to, oh man, I want to try that. And so even if it's just keeping them off the streets out of trouble, this is something we need. These are the kinds of things we need to get behind. And this would be, you know, particularly Brian Hall's school that's, you know, produced a Danny Barlow that is such a positive role model for Memphians.
Yep. Looking forward to it. Yep. Should be fun this weekend. We'll come back. Lots more to come. Norton Hurd IV going to join us at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
Best place to bet the games this summer is still on FanDuel, America's number one sports book. You still got time. Still got, up until the weekend of the games? Because right now, new customers, you get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So if you didn't get USA basketball yesterday and the knockout stage, maybe you can get them this next time out. You have to believe they're going to beat Serbia. Right now, again, you get $150 if that first $5 bet wins. Don't worry about the spread. You just need the W. You can also bet on other international teams. If you're like John, you like Germany, go for that. Got badminton, got soccer, got everything over at FanDuel. So don't miss your chance. Again, before time runs out to score $150 in bonus bets, if that first bet wins, just visit FanDuel.com/JaySmith to sign up and start betting the games today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of 92.9 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online, real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Folks, the waiting is over. The Jason and John Show is back from commercial break. Wait no more. It was a long wait, but they say anything good is worth waiting for, Jason. So it's a pleasure and a privilege and an honor to be back on air with you today after that commercial break. Thanks to all our sponsors here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Jim Harbaugh is not coming back to college, ladies and gentlemen. What a sanction. What a punishment for Jim Harbaugh. I'm half, like, joking because this is a joke. But basically the NCAA gave Jim Harbaugh a four-year show cause if he were to return to college, and a one-year suspension if he were, again, to return to college for violating head coach responsibility obligations, unethical conduct, and a failure to promote an atmosphere of compliance for his role in an investigation into impermissible recruiting in 2021 during a COVID-19 dead period. This was all released in a public decision from the Division I Committee on Infractions today. Said Harbaugh failed to meet his responsibility to cooperate with the investigation. It's from August 2024 to August 2028. And again, if he is hired during that four-year period, he would be suspended for 100% of the first season of employment. Incredibly brave by the NCAA to levy this punishment on a coach that decided he was done with college coaching.
Right.
But this is what Tom Mars, Coach Harbaugh's attorney, had to say on the matter. The way I see it, from Coach Harbaugh's perspective, today's COI decision is like being in college and getting a letter from your high school saying you've been suspended because you didn't sign the yearbook. If I were in Coach Harbaugh's shoes and had an $80 million contract as head coach of the Chargers, I wouldn't pay any attention to the findings of a kangaroo court which claims to represent the principles of the nation's most flagrant repeat violator of the federal antitrust laws. So there you have it. Kind of stupid, if you ask me, honestly, to do this. It's like, what are you trying to get, like, a headline? You trying to, like, look cute or something? You know the dude's in the NFL. He's not coming back to coach college. But I suppose they wanted to make sure that it was known. You're on a four-year show cause, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, again, the NCAA trying to look like it's holding folks accountable after giving a team that obviously cheated last year a pass. I mean, that's what I think it is. And because Harbaugh lied to them, they're able to stick him. And to your point, you do it after the fact. And so, you know. Listen, I'm not naive enough to think that you know, other schools haven't, if you call it walking the line, you call it cheating, you call it, you know, pushing the envelope, whatever it is. I mean, yes, I know sign stealing happens, but their sort of response to all this has been a joke. And the way the NCAA handled it, I'd use the same word you did. It's all been a joke. I was saying it last year. Now, a lot of people didn't want to hear it. They want to move on with the business of college football, and that's what we did. But remember, me and Giannotto would be going back and forth here, and their whole point was, well, we didn't get due process. Man, stop. Listen, we got on with the business of football, and I'm, like I said, I'm not naive enough to think we were going to stop or not include Michigan, that Michigan team, in the party. Like, look at what they did. We knew how good they were on the football field. But, yeah, you know, it's two things. NCAA, I roll my eyes. Yes, it's after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on Harbaugh's side, I wouldn't have any problem with this either if he didn't just, you know, he just addressed this basically with his whole, my daddy taught me, don't lie, cheat, or steal. You know, this holier than thou, I haven't done anything. You know, when frankly, you know, your actions here with the NCAA, you have put, and it didn't, you know, last year didn't cost you, but you've put future players that you recruited, you put their careers at Michigan in jeopardy when you break the rules. You've done it because you think you're above them. And he's always come off as this great American, been taught the right way by daddy. Remember, it's a football family. We live right. And listen, again, I have a hard time just coming down on, you know, saying the NCAA is just attacking. The NCAA is. They will go after you, but Harbaugh deserves it, man. I kind of, his holier-than-thou attitude, we know, again, you know, they crossed the line, and it'll be much ado about nothing. I mean, in the end, you're not going to have any conferences. There's nothing to fix here. Teams are always going to walk the line, but Harbaugh will never be a college coach again, and he's not interested in that. He bailed. Right. Everything worked out for him.
Yes, it did.
It worked out for Michigan, and the NCAA gets to tell you it's holding people accountable. It's all a farce.
It is a farce. That is a total. It's so stupid. It truly is. Like, y'all didn't do anything.
You should have held them accountable last year.
Exactly.
But you didn't want to stop again the business of college football.
Yeah, I mean, it's so transparent
because of how good that team was.
Yeah.
You know, I if Sharon was involved, and this man apparently was deleting texts with Stallions. What's my guy Moore? Is that the current coach at Michigan?
Yeah.
You know, if he, you know, involved in this too, and this goes to him, you know, it looks like this is all going to fall on Harbaugh at this point, and maybe, you know, it doesn't come off so much on you, but if he was involved too, I just, you know, at what point are we really going to hold, you know, these guys accountable?
Yep.
Ask the NCAA. They'll tell you when, they'll pick the time.
Yes, they will.
If they'll do it at all.
Yeah, it's so stupid. But you're right. It's totally true.
If you're a good team, you know, we're not going to mess with you.
Yeah.
You know, Kansas with the investigation on the basketball side.
North Carolina,
what we knew about their academic
scandal. Chase Young, Ohio State.
If you're, well,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
We're at
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.